KFYO at 7:38 with Tom and Laura. Good morning. Checking in with us on the telly, Congressman Randy Neugebauer. How are you? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tom, Laura. How are y'all this morning?
Good morning. We're doing great.
It's all good. Where are you at on the face of the planet today?
Well, I'm in Washington, D.C. this morning, and we had a busy week last week and a busy week in front of us this week as well.
Yeah, some interesting developments over the week, well, into last week and over the weekend. Yesterday, I was stunned and amazed that Nancy Pelosi was using such complex words as whoop-de-doo and do. I don't think that her colleagues are quite comprehending that same message that she was trying to elicit. A lot of people are maybe changing their position on this. Where are we at on that?
Well, you're exactly right, Tom. In fact, I had a conversation with one of my colleagues that's a Democrat last week, and they had a conference where I think it was a pretty ruckus type of conference where some of their members are very concerned about, you know, this Obamacare, the fact that the rollout has been botched. And I think more importantly, I think everybody thinks at some point in time these technical glitches will be fixed, but I think one of the things that everybody's very concerned of is just the hundreds and thousands of stories where people thought they were going to get to keep their health care, they're losing their health care, stories where people's health care premiums are doubling or quadrupling, and these are real-life stories. I was on the House floor last week talking about a young girl that from Leveland that has a childhood cancer, and she has to go to Houston. And her mom had written me and told me that, you know, they were losing their health care policy that had been an integral part of this little girl's health care. So these stories are starting to resonate not just for Republicans but for Democrats as well.
Well, this is one thing that kind of slapped me in the face over the weekend. Now, I knew that because of the information that we got from the insurance company that I'm currently covered by, that my premium was going up, not down, by $2,500 a year. B, I also got notification over the weekend that one of the medications that I am being prescribed for my diabetes will no longer be covered by my insurance. So I'm not real happy about that. I think that the president and the idea that health care for all is a great ideal, when I say the ideology of the thing is, I mean, well, sure, everybody should have health care. But I think where we run into the problem is there's not a logistically realistic action plan or the means to the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think one of the things and I think what you're saying is that what they're trying to do is make a cookie cutter approach to health care in this country. You have specific health issues. Other people have specific health issues. And your family configuration, whether you're single, married, you're an older adult, younger adult, you know, and trying to make all of this fit into one umbrella isn't working. And so I think that's part of the problem that we had, or I had, with this bill before it's even passed, is that you had the government making your health care choices for you. I don't think that's good policy. I think you and your doctor and you should make those choices, and that you should be able to go out and tailor a health insurance policy that fits your specific needs and not the government telling you what kind of policy you should have.
Yeah.
Can Congress work together to make that happen? Can we fine-tune this law to make it more reasonable for people?
Well, Laura, that would be the optimum thing to do, but I'm not sure we can do it with this health care law because in many ways the structure of it is flawed. It is all structured where the government basically is making all of those decisions. I think a better solution is to you know, quite honestly, and I know people don't like to hear me say this, some people don't, is to, you know, to start over and start over with a plan that's a patient-centered. I think that's the very first thing, is it needs to be patient-centered, and then looking for ways to make it affordable, accessible, and available for all Americans. But more importantly is that concept of patient-centered.
Hey, Congressman, we're going to take a break. We'll be back if you'll hang with us at 743. Good morning. News Talk 790 KFYO 746. Tom and Laura, Congressman Randy Neugebauer. Laura's got a question for you about, I think...
What's going on with the farm bill?
Farm bill. Well, you know, we're plodding along, I think, Laura, is the best way to say that. The staff between the House and the Senate has been putting together, you know, kind of trying to work out where are the differences in the farm bill. In some of the areas where we're very close, there have been some tentative agreements that will eventually have to be ratified by the conference committee. But the principals, the ranking member and the chairman from the House and the Senate met earlier last week to kind of give their staff some direction on getting us ready for a full conference committee. So I think we're making progress, but, you know, it's a very complex piece of legislation, and there's some issues where we're kind of far apart. But I think we're making progress. I'm still hopeful that before the Christmas holidays that we possibly could get a conference report.
Debbie Stabenow was saying that she was hoping the end of November we would have a new farm bill. Do you see that happening?
Boy, I tell you, the end of November, unfortunately, is almost already mm-hmm. here because members of Congress will leave this week, at the end of this week, to go back to their districts for the Thanksgiving holiday. And then when we come back from that, it'll be nearly December 1st. So I don't see that happening, Laura, unfortunately. But and you know what? We're getting to a point here where it's critical that we get this done, because pretty quickly, if we don't get it done in December, then we're into the next crop year, and that creates a whole lot of uncertainty for our producers.
Right.
So I'm very concerned that we need to keep the progress going here.
Hey, what do you think are the major hangers on agreement between both sides of the aisle? Is it still going to be just SNAP, just outright? Is it going to be food stamps?
Well, certainly the food stamps is one of the bigger ones, because it's a bigger piece of the farm bill. It's almost 80% of the farm bill is the food stamps. But there are some other issues. You know, one is whether this bill will be permanent law, or we will be amending the 1949 Act. The fact that the food stamps and the farm bill have different maturity dates. And then there's the commodity program that has to do with production agriculture. The Senate has a little bit different perspective on the safety net than the House does, and so there's some major issues that need to be resolved. There's also some minor ones that I think can be done at the staff level, but these major ones will be the ones that will dominate our conference committee.
Okay. Good morning. It is 7:51. Back with Congressman Randy Neugebauer in just a couple of minutes. Get back to the phone and Congressman Randy Neugebauer.
We had a question about the fracking bill. Could you tell us a little bit about that and what's going on with that bill?
Yes, there's a bill that's supposed to be on the floor this week, Laura, that will let fracking be more regulated by the states. You know, every part of the country has different geological formations, and the makeup and the composite of that formations are very different. EPA has been trying to, as you know, regulate fracking, and they've really been out trying to prove that fracking somehow is harmful to the water table, and to this date, there's not been one case where fracking, hydraulic fracking, can be traced back to water contamination. And so what we think is the better solution is let these states set up the fracking regulations and to monitor that. We think they can do a better job. They know more about those formations than just about anybody does.
What about the exemptions and entitlements that have been given to that industry? A lot of people are saying that there's a lot more given to those companies than there are to citizens at this point.
You know, you hear that, but really, the oil industry doesn't really get any more special accounting exemptions than any other business that does in this country. Now, what we want to do, Laura, is with our policy, is encourage companies to continue to drill and make America less dependent on these foreign countries. We can either be drilling for oil in America and creating jobs and making America more energy independent, or we can let those jobs and that production happen, you know, in Venezuela and Middle East. We think that that should be, you know, done in this country. So we need to incentivize these companies to go out and do what they're doing, and they're doing a good job of it. For the first time now in a number of years, we're producing more oil than we're importing, and that's a good thing.
What about water use? A lot of people are concerned that fracking would allow these oil companies to eat up all the water in the aquifers or take a large portion of it.
Yeah, well, less than 1% of the water use in this country has to do with hydraulic fracking. But the good news is, Laura, is that the industry is doing a really good job now. They're recycling a lot of that water. Mm-hmm. They're working on new fracking techniques that use less water. And so I think they understand that there's a stewardship that goes with that. And I think the industry is working hard to improve on how they're using water, and the fact that they're recycling a lot of that water has begun to reduce the utilization substantially. And I think it'll continue in the future.
Hey, Congressman, I know that you were a friend of Jack Alderson, and with his passing just recently, you have any thoughts for that?
Yeah, you know, Lubbock lost a real jewel. Jack Alderson was a great American. He's a great citizen of our community, gave back a whole lot. And, you know, if you were ever around Jack, he made your life better. And so Dan and I's thoughts and prayers go out to Pat and the rest of the family.
All right. Thanks for joining us this morning, Congressman Randy Neugebauer. Have a fantastic day. Go pass something.
Thank you. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you.